Psalm 27 and verse 10, though we'll be looking at many scriptures, we'll come back to this more particularly. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. We open the pages of the Old Testament, the very first book, the book of Genesis, and we read of Eve, the mother of all living. Eve had two sons, the scripture tells us. She conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. In time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. The Lord said to Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Eve was the first mother. And suddenly, she felt the pain that only a mother can feel. Her son murdered her son. We turn to the book of the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, in the opening, the times of Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to Nazareth to a virgin espoused to Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to Mary, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Mary brought the Son of God into the world. Eve had brought the first man-child into the world. She brought forth her firstborn son. And when the days of her purification were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. There was a devout man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he came into the temple when his parents were there, when Jesus' parents were there. And then this man, Simeon, took him up into his arms. And he said, Mary's mother, Simeon, man in the temple, they didn't know each other. He just walks up to Mary and takes the child and he speaks to her. He said, Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also. We turn to John chapter 19 and verse 25. The words of Simeon, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. This child, just a few days old, held in the hands of a very old man who's speaking the words of God to Mary. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul. When a child is first born, a season and a time of joyfulness, happy for a mother, the father. Here, this man brings these words, A sword shall pierce through thine own soul. We we turn to the book of John chapter 19 and we read verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother. A sword pierced through her soul. She was His mother. And there she sees her Son hanging on this cross, a man brutally treated by men, the son of her womb, beaten, bloodied, mocked and ridiculed, a scorn for men. She stands there, not far off, to see His sufferings. Sufferings of her Son. Sufferings that only a mother can know. See her child pass away. Now, remember, our text is Psalm chapter 27, and verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Abel's mother could do nothing to help him. Cain found him out in the field, out the way, and even if it had been up close to the house, his mother had not the strength to take on or to separate these two men as Cain murdered his brother. Mary, little Hebrew, Jewish woman, what could she do? Soldiers, the crowds, what could she do but suffer? My father, my mother forsake me. The Lord will take me up. Sometimes mothers simply have not the strength to provide that which their children would need. In the book of Genesis, again, we read of Sarah. She despaired of having a child. She'd grown old and beyond the childbearing years. And she pressed Abraham and told Abraham, have a child by Hagar, the handmaid. And Ishmael was born. Well, a short time later, she did bear a child. She bore Isaac. And then, when Isaac and Ishmael were growing up, Ishmael a little bit older than Isaac, there was a time when Sarah saw Ishmael, Hagar's son, not her own, the handmaid's son, mocking her little one, Isaac. She demanded of Abraham, he must be cast out. He must be gotten rid of. I'll not have him mocking my son. Though it grieved his heart to do so, Abraham sent Hagar off. She was sent off with a bottle of water over her shoulder and little Ishmael, a little lad, by her side. She wandered off in the wilderness of Beersheba. Soon the water bottle was spent. She cast the child in one of the shrubs, and she went, as it were, a bowshot distance off. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. She couldn't leave him, but she could not stay close and endure his sufferings either. Scripture says she lifted up her voice and wept. She had no more strength. She did all that she could do. Sometimes mothers cannot do any more for their children than what they have done. God heard the voice of the lad, and God opened the mother's eyes, and the Lord provided for them, and Ishmael grew to manhood. But his mother was out of strength. Sometimes mothers do not take care because of sin. There is a story in the Old Testament, two mothers. They came across the king. Called to him, the king of Samaria. The Syrians, Ben-Hadad and his army had encircled the city. No one was going out, no one was coming in, and the city was much deprived. People were starving. an ass's head, a donkey's head was worth silver. A dove's dung was worth silver. People paying for dove's dung, they were so starved. There was a woman who called him. Said, "Oh, King, help me." And he said, "How can I help you? Go to the wine press and find something there. Go to the barn and find something there. The threshing barn, there's no food in the city. What can I do for you?" And she said, "In a house, this other woman." She said, "We'll boil your son today and eat him. And tomorrow we'll boil my son." And they boiled her son, and her complaint was she hid her son, and now there's nothing left to eat. Sometimes desperate circumstances will bring sin to bear. And these women, this horrible brutality. Sometimes mothers will not do what mothers are so often known for. Sin will bring great ruin. Mothers are also known for the counsel that they would bring. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and verses 9 and 10. Solomon writes there, "Forsake not the law of thy mother, for it," for mother's law, "shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chained about thy neck." I was a little kid, 9 or 10 years old or so, and I was heading out the door to the bus. On my way out the door, and the bus was right there on the road out in front of the house, my mother stops me on the way out the door. I said, "Mom, I got to hurry. The bus is going." She said, "You need your hair combed." "Mom, I got to hurry. You need your hair combed." And I wasn't going without getting my hair combed. It was the law of my mother. You need to get your hair combed before you head out the door. I did make the bus, but she had counsel for me. And the scripture says, "It shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." It'll be that which others know you for. Oh, he's honorable to his mother. Mothers are known for the counsel that they give to their children. Bathsheba gave counsel to her son. She refers to him as Lemuel in Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. "What, my son?" The queen mother. His mother, he became the king, the queen mother, saying, "I'm going to tell you about being king, and I'm going to give you some instruction, my son." He said, "Give not thy strength to women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Solomon did not follow that counsel. It was women that destroyed him and his kingdom in later years. She also told him, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted." Her counsel was, keep your wits about you. When you tip up the bottle, you get stupid in the head and you make bad decisions. I've heard some people defend their own drinking practices from this passage, saying, "Well, that's just for kings." Well, you don't want the plumber having these problems either, with wits about his head, and have the things that are supposed to be going out of the house coming the other direction. You don't want the electrician having flawed judgment. You want him to make sure he puts the wires in the right places. So it's not just for kings, though it's specifically for kings. She told him, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead like the cause of the poor and needy." The queen mother giving counsel to her son, the rules on the throne. It is for mothers to give counsel. And mothers, of course, are known for the care of their children. Even what we would call bad mothers or mothers that are not of such upstanding women. For we read in 1 Kings chapter 3 that there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said to the king, "Oh my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. The third day after I was delivered, this woman was delivered also, and we were together." There was no one else there. There's no stranger there. "This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom, laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I considered it in the morning, it was not my son." The other woman protested. She said, "No, the living son is mine, and the dead son is yours." Two women, which child does this, is the woman, which mother belongs to the child? Which child does the mother belong to? And so they spake before the king. The king said in this famous story, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king. "Divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other." Then spake the woman, the mother, whose living child, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. Is not this a description of motherhood? Her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "Oh my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." The other said, "Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it." And the king said, "Give her the child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." Mothers care for their children. This is what mothers are known for, that they look after and they care. She was willing to give up her rights, her ability to oversee the growth of this child, the interaction that a mother has with her child, with a child on her lap and tending to the little one and watching them grow and their steps and their first steps and everything that goes into a child coming into this earth and growing. She says, "No, let her have him rather than kill him. Oh, it's better that he live." In 1 Samuel, we read of Hannah. The woman Hannah gave her son suck until she weaned him. Hannah had said that she would give her son to the Lord. If the Lord gave her a son, she would give him back. Still, she cared for him. Give him suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour. When he was weaned, maybe 3, maybe 4 years old, maybe, she took him to the temple to leave him there with three bullocks, an ephah of flour, enough flour to do for a while, and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Every year she came to sacrifice, and she brought a coat for her son. Obviously, a little larger each time. She tended to his needs. And the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." He uses there in Isaiah an illustration of the care that a mother has for a child as his care for little ones, for his people. "I will care for you as a mother cares for his, for her little ones." But it's possible for a woman to forget her sucking child. It can happen. Though this would be the illustration that God would say, "I'll care for you as a mother would care for her child," she may forget, but I won't forget. And so we draw close to our text, Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. She may forget, but the Lord looks after His people. In the 121st Psalm, it says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand." When our daughter, Anna Lee, Mother Leslie and I, our daughter was about 5 years old, she had her first asthma attack. It was new to us, an asthma attack, but her chest all got tightened up and she was breathing real hard and raspy. And it was awful. We were on the phone to the doctor and he gave us instructions. He knew what it was over the phone. He listened to her on the phone. He says, "All right, if she gets up to 50 breaths a minute, take her to the emergency room." Well, we ended up staying up with her all night. We found better ways to manage with this than we did that first night. We tried to stay up all night. I tried to stay up all night, sleeping on my chest, and I keep dozing off and I'm sleeping, and trying to count her breaths. My wife is trying to stay up all night with me so that we look after her and we tend to her. Keep the illustration with my wife, though I fell asleep as readily as she did. She fell asleep. Woke up, realizing she had fallen asleep. There are mothers, sadly, that do terrible things to their children, like the ones I mentioned from 1 Kings. There are mothers who, for all of their best efforts, it's not good enough to take care of their children. There are good mothers who do good things for their children and still they find that they fail at times in life and they come shy of what they would do for their children or what they would like to do for their children. Though their heart would yearn for their children, they still come short. But the Scripture says, "When my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The one who keeps his people, the God who made the heavens and the earth, who looks after his people, he doesn't grow weary, his eyes don't grow tired, well, he just can't stay awake. For all of the effort and work and trying, you slap yourself in the face, you get coffee, I'm going to stay awake. But no, he doesn't slumber or sleep. For mothers fail, and sadly, they do. They feel their own shortcomings. And for those who don't even seem to care or regard their role as mother, there's a God in heaven. He does not fail. In the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, He says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A little kid running around the yard, just full of energy and go, and you, those of you who've had children probably have memory of your kids when they were running around and they climb up in your lap and they just look like they're all excited and they're just happy as they can be, and seconds later, it's down. Sleep. You find yourself. You haven't got a mother's lap anymore. Your mother's passed on. Her lap's not there anymore. Not even that she forsook you, or maybe so, maybe not. The Lord God in heaven, Jesus Christ, said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. The sin that will drive you and bring you to ruin, the sin that would master you and destroy your life, and your relationship to the living God. He says, humble yourself. Take my yoke upon you. I'll be the one that's in charge when there's a yoke on you. The one who's behind the yoke is the one who's in charge. So as you submit to me, you'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus said to his disciples, and I ask you tonight, are you one of his disciples? Are you one of Christ's? Have you come to a place in your life, in a time in your life, when you have said, I am a sinner. I can look at other people and I can see their sin, but I see my own sin. And the ruin it's bringing me. I ask, are you one of his followers? Are you one of Christ's followers? You've come to a place in your life when you've said, I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell. Yet I call upon Jesus Christ that he would give me mercy. And that I would be one of his disciples. I would follow him. If you've not come to that place in your life, even yet at this point in your life, will you call upon him? Call upon him out of your own heart and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He says to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's not a promise. Oh, to everybody in the whole world, well, God will just be with you. Oh, everything will be fine. It's a promise to his disciples. And even to those who have a mother who failed them, that relationship that ought to be such a close relationship. Relationship with Jesus Christ is one that cannot be broken. For his word says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you're not one of his disciples, it's not one of your promises. Life just goes on with all of its griefs and miseries and aches and pains and problems. And, well, I had a false hope when I died. And then hell. When my father, my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord who said, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. So the writer of Hebrews says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mothers, they die. My mother died a short time ago. Of years ago. She had no power or ability to live any longer. Even whatever desires she would have had. However close you are to your mother, she's going to die. You don't die before her. But the Lord says, I will never leave thee, forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord will take me up. That one whom I love the most, perhaps, or one of those people I would love the most in this earth, no longer can love me back. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man shall do to me. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. God's people have this great promise. What honor and love we would have for our mothers, those who have a Christian mother and are thankful for all that the mother would teach them concerning the things of God. We rejoice and we thank him. For those whose mother is certainly nothing resembling Christianity, there's a God in heaven who says, I will take you up. And he's the God who made all things by the word of his power and gave his son to die in place every sinner who would call upon him. Are you one of his? Have you come to him for the salvation of your soul? If you've not, then I ask you to ask us. If you're not sure, If you'll just, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but for Jesus' sake, cleanse me from my sin through His blood. A prayer as simple as that opens the floodgates of heaven's blessings.